Good morning, everyone. It's great to have you with us today. I can see we have a few people away today. We're at that time of the year as summer is here that we're enjoying things. And so we're just so thankful for those who are here and for those who are joining us online. Wanted to share one thing this morning. The last few Sundays, as I've come in early to pray here through the sanctuary, I just felt the Holy Spirit continuously say to me that if people will pursue Him, He'll respond. And then this morning, just before we sang that new song about anything is possible, and I can't remember all the lyrics, but this idea that God's about to move. Just before we sang that, I just felt the Spirit say that I was to share with you that He is ready to respond to those who are pursuing Him. That those who've been posturing their hearts and have been going after Him, that He's ready to respond. And the picture I had was, it was like God was sitting on His throne, and He's just kind of got His head on his fist, and He's just watching. He's watching the pursuit of His kids. But He's come to a place where He's starting to stand. And He's about to respond to our desire for Him. And friends, I want to tell you that if you've been pursuing, don't give up. He's about to do something. I truly believe it. He's about to do something here. He's about to do something in your life and your families. So just keep going after Him. And if you have not been pursuing Him, I'm encouraging you, go after Him now. Don't miss what He's about to do. I love that song. About, if you could just imagine God doing crazy things in this facility. We want to see that. We want to see what God can do, what He wants to do. And so I'd really encourage you to pursue Him. And so I pray that would just stir your hearts in prayer and that you would go after the person of the Holy Spirit. Well, we're going to continue on. We have two messages left in our Marginalized God series. This morning I wanted to start off by sharing a story that happened just a few years ago. I had been contacted by a congregant who wanted to meet with me, and so we gathered together. I gathered with this young man. We sat down in a restaurant. The young man began to share with me a story that was very personable. He started to talk about how he had a relative who was about to engage in a same-sex marriage. He held to historic traditional family values and the historical traditional view of marriage. And he recognized that according to his faith, according to what we would believe here as a church, that this would not be seen as a biblical marriage. And so he knew positionally how he theologically was to respond to this relative, but the question was, is should he attend the wedding? And we sat there and we bounced back and forth various questions, various ideas and perspectives. And I'll never forget, there was a moment in this conversation where my friend just got very teary-eyed. Because here was an individual who truly loved his relative and wanted this relative to feel his love. Wanted his relative to know that he loved her unconditionally. And yet there was this element inside of him that said, if I attend this, am I affirming this lifestyle that I don't agree with? We really didn't come to any conclusions, and I don't know where this young man landed with how he approached it. But I saw inside of him the angst and the pain that many of us experience in today's world. We find ourselves in situations, maybe many of you have faced a situation just like that. But we find ourselves in situations where we just don't know what to do. Because the truth is as we look through scriptures, there are some very clear things that we know, hey, this is right, this is wrong, we have to do this. You know, this idea of not murdering, that this one's not up for grabs. You don't go, well, I don't really know what God meant by thou shalt not murder. You know, the person's really ticking me off, so let's see what happens. We know that one's black. That one's black and white. We know that one. But then there are other areas within Christian living where we're just not sure. There's no specific guidelines on how we are to act, how we are to offer our lives in an ethical manner. And we live this complicated life, and we're not really sure what we're supposed to do and continue to follow Christ's leading. I was thinking about it as I was writing this message as to what we normally do as Christians. When we come to this place where we find ourselves in between two roads, where we're in between
two different opinions, two different roads. I'm going to move this just a little bit over so it's a little bit more centered. But we're in between two roads, the gray area. We don't know what to do, and so what often happens is we determine this. We make a statement that says, I'm just going to do what I feel is best. How many of you have ever said that? I'm just going to do what I feel is best. Is there anybody besides me? Because I've said it. Okay. I've said this. I'm just going to do what I feel is best. And we encourage people, and I've even probably counseled people, just do what you feel is best. The problem with that statement is that the Bible tells us that our hearts are wicked. When God looks into our hearts, he sees the true nature of humanity. There's a scripture in the Gospels where Jesus knew the intents of their hearts. And our hearts are very deceptive, and they don't guide us in the right way. And so we have to understand that element. And the second thing about the statement that I'm just going to do what I feel is best is that when we come to Jesus Christ, we have an understanding that I is supposed to die. Self is supposed to die. Our perspectives, our ways, our values, our personal stuff in our broken nature is supposed to die, and we put on Jesus Christ. And so often we lead in the area of ethics based upon self, what I feel is best, but we're leading from a skewed perspective from the sinful nature. And we choose things that we genuinely hope pleases God, but the truth is that there are things that are just from the person who's supposed to be dead. And we desperately want to do what God desires. And I don't know about you, but there's been so many times I'm just like, God, would you just give us a rule book? How many of you have ever been there? You're just like, you're in a situation, it's not covered by scripture, and you're just like, why don't you just give me a rule book? Anybody with me? I'd buy that book. I'd buy you a copy of that book. Just a rule book to help us through every single situation that we face when it comes to our ethics. But the truth is there's no rule book, but there's something greater. There's this person called the Holy Spirit that we've been talking about for the last month or so. And the Holy Spirit is in our lives not just to comfort, not just to convict, not just for salvation, not just for empowerment, but the Spirit is in our lives to guide us in the ethical decisions that we are to make on a daily basis. He helps us to identify the wrong paths or paths that He doesn't want us to go on, and the paths that He does want us to go on, the right paths, the things that God says, this is the best for our lives. And so I want to walk you through some principles this morning that will help us when it comes to our relationship with the Holy Spirit and His involvement with the ethical decisions that we have to make on a daily basis. The first thing I want to talk about is the motivation to choose the right path. When it comes to our choices, the greatest question we have to ask ourselves is, when it comes to choosing a path, is why? Why would I choose this path? Why would I choose this path? Why am I going to make this decision? You see, the motivation behind our choices is foundational to the choice itself. Let me explain. Ainsley and I frequently go downtown. It's one of my favorite things to do. I love going down to the Glebe Lansdowne area or to the Byward Market. When it comes to going downtown, I'm sure that there's a million ways of getting there, but there are two main ways that Ainsley and I will take. We will either jump on the Queensway and head right down to Nicholas and then head straight the direct route to the downtown, to the Byward Market. Or we will take Old Montreal Road, St. Joseph Boulevard, just to the west of here, I'm trying to think, to the west of here, and we will take St. George at the end Parkway, all the way up to Sussex, and then we'll go in the back of the downtown area. Two different routes that gets us to the same spot. The question is what's my motivation to get there? What's the biggest thing that I'm looking for? If I'm in a rush to a meeting, if I have to meet someone downtown, I'm going to take the fastest route. And usually in non-construction moments in Ottawa, and I know you're asking, when do those exist? But in non-construction moments, I can take the Queensway and get downtown within about 10 minutes from right here. But there are other moments, and especially in construction season, like it's been this weekend, which has been absolutely crazy. I want to choose a route that doesn't have crazy traffic, or I want to choose something that's just more relaxed, or when somebody new to the city arrives here. I want to show them the beauty of Ottawa. I'll take the parkway and go the back route to the downtown. The route that I choose is determined by what my motivation is. Do I want the scenic or do I want the fast? Do I want the traffic or do I want the non-traffic? What's my motivation? And motivation determines our choices. Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Friends, every ethical decision you make should never be about your comfort, should never be about what you think is right. Every ethical decision that you make in life should be about bringing glory to God. There should be something within you that says, I choose this path because I know this is what's going to bring God glory. It may be a path of love in a situation, and you go, this is what's going to bring God glory. It may be a moment of truth, and people are saying, no, do love. But God's saying, no, in this situation, truth must prevail because this is going to bring God glory. By the way, the best way to live as a Christian is both truth and love at all times. Jesus was full of grace and truth. But our motivation must always be to bring God glory. But if you're like me, you'll agree with the statement that our motivation is to please God, that should be the bottom line. But we find ourselves constantly choosing the other route. I know I'm supposed to choose the path that pleases God, but I keep choosing the one that doesn't please God. How do I change that? Well, friends, our motivation comes from the greatest benefit from a choice. Well, even if we know that this path is the one that pleases God, if we feel that this choice is going to bring us more benefit, we sometimes ignore the one that's best in God's mind. This idea of benefits and motivation is very key, because I want to point to Romans chapter 14, 17, and 18. Just look at this. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. This is so important because I've been raised my entire life that we pay attention to all the things that we consume. So many issues about foods and drinks and all that kind of the peripheral things. And Paul says that's not what the kingdom of God's about. But it's of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Did you get that? There's a certain way that if you choose it, it brings God's pleasure, is pleasing to God. And what is that way that involves the Holy Spirit? Paul says, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, friends, listen to me for a second. We may be thinking that righteousness is in the Holy Spirit, that joy is in the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah, and then there's peace, and that's in the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you that the three of those three things are tied together. That if you make a righteous choice, the Holy Spirit will bring joy and peace in your life. That if you choose to make a righteous choice, that you will have a peace in your heart. And when you have peace in your heart, you know that you're living in a righteous way. You know that you're on a righteous path. When you have joy in your heart about a decision, you know that you have chosen the righteous way. The joy, the peace, and the righteousness, the right way that comes from the Holy Spirit are all hand in hand. And if you begin to walk in a certain direction and you say, I'm going to choose this, I'm not really sure, but I'm going to take my best shot. I'm going to start to walk towards this. And friends, you start to feel something other than joy, you start to feel something other than peace, you are beginning to understand that this isn't the path that God wants you to choose. Because the motivation that He wants you to have towards that which is pleasing to God is a righteousness, a joy, and a peace package. He wants the right decision to be filled with joy and peace, that you go, man, even though this one seems what's best for me, there's just no peace, there's just no joy. I know that I can make another $100,000 a year by choosing this path, but there's no peace in my heart. There's no joy in my heart. And the greatest benefit is not the money here. The greatest benefit is for me to choose the path, maybe a little bit less, but it's the right choice because there's joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. They're inseparable. Over the years, we've bought many gifts for our kids, birthdays and Christmas and just random occasions. But when our kids were little, I loved Christmas shopping, just absolutely loved it. Especially for my boys. Briar's always been a difficult person to buy for because she's just so laid back and she's just happy with anything. But my boys are very particular. And they like certain things. And over the years, there's moments they were into Star Wars toys. There's moments they were into G.I. Joe, into Lord of the Ring action figures, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle action figures. I mean, just every year there was something different. And what in a given year, we would discover what it was that they liked the most. And Ainsley and I would go, and we'd shop around, and we'd be looking for months, and we'd be putting things aside, and we'd be getting the things that we knew that they were into. Christmas morning would come, and we would give them their gifts, and the boys would start to open up their gifts, and all of a sudden, there'd be this look of joy that would cover their face, this smile, and they're like, oh, no way, I've wanted this so bad. And as they open that which they desired, joy is expressed on their life, but then something else happens. Joy fills my heart. Joy fills Ainsley's heart. As we chose the right gifts, we experience joy. As we choose the thing that they desire, we experience joy. You see, our motivation is to please God. Just like at Christmas, my motivation is to give our kids the gifts that they'll like. But part of the motivation is not just the pleasure of God, it's experiencing the joy and the peace and the righteousness that come about as we choose the things that please Him. Friends, we so often choose things that bring us temporary benefit at the exchange of the joy and the peace that come from the Holy Spirit. The motivation for the right path is always, always to bring God pleasure, and the sign that the benefit, the immediate benefit that we get is this peace and this joy that may not make any sense to what we see, but it's the Spirit going, this is what I like. This is what God likes, the motivation. The second thing I want to talk about is the new way. In the Old Testament, people made ethical choices based upon the law. Having to follow every letter of the law that was created out of fear, because they were so afraid that if they made the wrong choice, that they would be out of favor with God and they would be in big trouble. And so they kept looking at the rules, kept looking at the rules, kept looking at the rules. They were constantly looking at the rules as a way of life. A few weeks ago, we were having a game night with Tim and Sherry Tyson. And I had said to Ainsley many times, we should teach them Concordia. Concordia is one of my favorite board games. The last time I played it was last summer when we were away with our family. And Ainsley and I played a full game and talked about how much we loved this game. And yet we hadn't played it for a year. And we've played many games with Tim and Sherry, but we hadn't played this game. So I was so excited to teach them, and so we pull out the board game, they're sitting at the table, and we watch a little video just to do a refresher, and I started to feel a little bit anxious because I had forgotten some of the rules. And so we start the game, and I had the rule book right beside me, and I just kept on going to the rule book because I want to make sure we weren't messing up. I just kept going to the rule book, let me just make sure about this card, let me just make sure about this. And for the first 15, 20 minutes, maybe even longer, I had a hard time actually enjoying the game because I was so worried that I was going to mess up on one of the rules that I had to keep going to the rule book. And for most of history pre-Christ, that's the way the Israelites lived. They had a hard time enjoying life because they wanted to make sure they didn't mess up on the rules. And so they kept going to the law. What's this one say? What did Moses say here? What did he say in the Torah? What about this? What kind of clothes am I supposed to wear? Is this shirt made of mixed fabric? Oh, no, I can't wear this. And they kept going to the rule books, kept going, and they were so paranoid about messing up on the rules because they had experienced moments where God's disfavor was there that they weren't able to fully enjoy life because the law kept on pointing to all the mistakes and all their failures. Romans chapter 7, verses 4 to 6 says, so my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. From when we were in a realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work within us so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. The law was lifeless, and it was binding us to the very thing that condemned us. But the law was replaced with the person of the Holy Spirit, the one who would bring us life. Friends, listen to me. The rule book was put aside. The rule book was to guide us into the things that represent the character of God, that would set us apart as a people of God. But it just kept on condemning us because we kept messing it up. And what God said is, I'm going to place a person inside of you, God Himself, the person of the Holy Spirit, who will breathe life in you. And every day you will experience life, and He will become the rule book by guiding you in a relational way, this internal guide. Brand new way. Listen, those of you who are so caught up by all the rules, that was never God's intention. He wanted the Spirit to live inside of you, to guide you in the paths that were right, to guide you in the paths that would direct you towards the things that please God. And you want to, can I do this? Can I do this? And I've met new Christians. They're trying to figure out all the rules. And I've met old Christians. They're trying to enforce all the rules. The old way is gone. It just kept leading to death. It prevented us from enjoying this game called life. And Paul says that God gave us not the law, but the Spirit, the one who breathes life, and the Spirit informs us. The law informed us. It told us what the rules are, but now the Spirit informs us. So what's so different about this Spirit living in us who's informing us on what we should do? What's changed? Romans chapter 8, verses 10 to 11 says, "But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you," listen to this. I got to pause because I don't want you to miss this. "And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you," and we talked about this already, we talked about it last week, the Spirit of God is living in you. The moment you became a Christian, He was the deposit, He was the guarantee, He is in you. If you are a follower of Jesus, the Spirit is in you. And so let's find out what happens if the Spirit is living in you. "He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you." Come on, somebody. The Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead brings life to this mortal body. The Spirit brings life. And so what does this have to do with ethics? Not only does the Spirit internally guide us, He empowers us to choose the right path. He brings life to us when we're at this place where we need to make a difficult decision. We simply need to choose to turn to Him. We simply need to turn to Him. I'm going through this journey, and I've got an ethical decision in my life to make. And I know that one of the paths is going to be difficult. But I need to know what to do. And I got to tell you, there are moments in my life. I mean, you guys are probably way better Christians than me. But I'm just a one sinner who's been saved, who's been declared to be a saint, who still has to put the death my flesh on a daily basis. And there are moments that I want to choose this path, the one that says don't go this way. And in those moments when I want to go the path I'm not supposed to go, even though I know the Spirit's telling me, He's informing me to go this way, I want to go this way. But the Spirit, who doesn't just inform, He empowers. I lean on Him and say, "Holy Spirit, I want to go this way. I need your help right now. I need your help right now." And all of a sudden, something begins to happen inside of me. And the Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, who lives inside of me, breathes life into this mortal body and says, "I will give you the strength you need to make the right decision. I'll give you the strength you need to make the right decision." And even though I want to do this, the Spirit, I lean on the Spirit who doesn't just inform, He empowers. And now I go this way because I do it not on my strength, but I do it on the strength of the Holy Spirit. Friends, listen to me. There is nothing that you will face in this world that you can't do. There is no decision for God that he's asked you to make that you can't accomplish. If you ignore the Spirit and you try to just do it in your own religious rule book type of Christianity, you will fail every single time. God has never asked you just to do what's right. He's asked you to do what's right in the power of the Spirit. He's asked you to lean on the Spirit. He's given you the Spirit to empower you, that when your mortal body, that this cave that is so dead, that's so bent towards things that are deathly, that all of a sudden the Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells inside of me and gives me the life I need to choose the right path. New way. You see, the Spirit wasn't empowering the children of God with the law. He was just informing them. But now we have this internal informing with an empowering. Brand new way. Lastly, the responsibility. The Spirit motivates us to please God in righteousness and peace and joy. The Spirit informs us and empowers us. But the Spirit is not responsible for our ethics. He's not. I mean, friends, we're not these like robots where the Spirit, you know, starts to push us and he's got some kind of remote control and he just leads us. Oh, that's a bad way. Go this way. We're not some marionette where he's just kind of like pulling the strings and trying to get over here. No, the Spirit's involved in our lives, but ultimately it's our choice. And there's a responsibility that every single one of us needs to make when it comes to the daily ethics of our life. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 18 says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Walk by the Spirit. Because my flesh wants to keep going over here. My flesh wants to do this. When I'm in conversation and we're about to cut somebody up, my flesh wants to join in. My flesh wants to be critical. My flesh wants to do things that give me immediate pleasure. My flesh wants to do this. But the Spirit wants me to bite my tongue. The Spirit wants me to think pure thoughts. The Spirit wants me to be generous. The Spirit wants me to be loving. The Spirit wants me to be kind. The Spirit wants me to make choices to please God. The Spirit and my flesh are constantly at war, and I have a choice to make in my life with the Spirit living in me. Do I lean on the Spirit or do I lean on my flesh? And Paul says it's your responsibility in the moments where you have to make an ethical choice that you would choose to walk by the Spirit. And this word, this phrase, walk by, is an ethical conduct in relationship to another person. It's how we conduct ourselves. But here's the thing. This idea involves intimate relationship. Friends, this is so important. It involves intimate relationship. That our relationship would be so intimate that when we have the choice to make, we actually know which way the Spirit's walking. That we become so familiar with the Holy Spirit that when we need a choice to make, we know which way to go because we're so intimate with the Spirit. Please listen to me for a second. I'm concerned that too many Christians are only leaning on the Spirit when the choice needs to be made. That we get to a spot in our lives and we go, do I choose this path or do I choose this path? And we can't figure out which way the Spirit wants us to go because we've not developed any relationship with Him. Because this idea of walking by the Spirit is not simply going in a direction the moment He goes. It is embracing the Spirit on a daily basis so that we become so familiar with Him that when the choice comes about, we know exactly which way He's going. It's preemptive relationship that helps us for the decision. I don't know when. I've probably done this many times, but a few months ago, we were playing a board game. We're all joking around the table. And I turned to Ainsley, and I was in a joking way, I got chippy. I made some little poke at her. No one in the room noticed, I'm pretty sure. They didn't notice that my little chippiness upset her. But I noticed immediately. I saw the look on her face. I saw her body language. I noticed that everything about her just kind of went cold. She continued to interact. She continued to talk normal. She continued to talk to me normal. But I noticed her body language was not normal. I noticed that she was upset with me. And then, you know, I'm stupid sometimes, and so I try to fix it really quickly. So I reach over and go to grab her hand and find myself holding a limp hand, trying to figure out why she's not holding my hand back, but she's just letting it sit there and letting me grab it. I try to talk to her and say nice, oh, that was a good move. No response. Try to rub her back because she loves that. It's like her back is like, I can tell she's angry, okay? I just, everything. But nobody else in the room would notice it. It's little things. And the reason why I notice it is because I've paid attention to how she acts when she's happy and when she's not happy because of relationship. I've spent years paying attention. In the early years, it was really difficult because I didn't have a clue what was going on. But over the years, I've gotten a bit better. And I notice the things that please her and the things that don't. And when I don't know specifically, I just know by her body language. I just know by the engagement and conversation. What others miss, I don't, because of relationship. And friends, that principle is true with your walk with the Spirit. But please, this is I so want you to get this. We can't be Christians who simply turn to the Holy Spirit in the decision-making times. We can't. Most of us will miss it if we are only leaning on the Holy Spirit from time to time. We need to have a relationship with the Spirit that allows us to know what we should experience with the Holy Spirit when things are the right way or the wrong way. When we're choosing a path that displeases Him or pleases Him. We need to build a relationship with this person called the Holy Spirit, who is God. We need to build it on a regular basis so that when we get to the place where we have a decision to make, we start to lean this way, but we feel the limp hand. We feel the shrugged shoulders when I'm rubbing the back. We see the look on the face, the tonal difference in the voice. We know that this is the wrong way, and we go over here and choose this, and we begin to feel the gripped hand against my gripped hand. We know because of relationship. Paul says that we are to be led by the Spirit, to be directed while being accompanied by Him. As the Spirit accompanies us, we become aware of His nudgings. Not only do we know it through relationship, but we get these little nudgings along the way as we're led by Him. As we build this relationship and we start to get led, we find ourselves in a situation we don't even know that we're on a path that requires choosing. We don't even know that we're in a situation that's an ethical one, that this requires a choice. But the Spirit of God doesn't just help us when we ask. He comes along and nudges us as we're led by Him. About a year ago, Ainsley and I had been watching this TV series that we absolutely loved. And I loved the character, loved the main character, loved all the creativity behind the show. The actors were brilliant. And there's not a show that you can watch today that doesn't have a token same-sex individual. And it was there in the show, and we're like, just every show has this. And we kept watching, but this one night, there was this episode where it was pushing the bounds of sexuality in every way possible. This was a medical show. It wasn't like some romance show. This was just a medical show. But the cases in the show that were being presented, it presented a polyamorous relationship. It presented, anyway, I'm not going to go through them. It presented all kinds of stuff. And as I'm sitting there, I can feel my body squirming, and all of a sudden I get the nudge from the Spirit. The nudge. This isn't pleasing to me. And finally, one scene, it was like the Holy Spirit decked me. It's like Elaine with Seinfeld, just decked her. I felt like the Spirit decked me, and all of a sudden I said, okay, I'm out. I said it out loud. And Ainsley's like, yeah, me too. I am done with this show. And the show was great. Fantastic show with all kinds of great writing. But I want to be led by the Spirit. And I'm not confessing that I'm perfect, that I've every time I've paid attention. But in this moment, we had to make a decision. I didn't even know it was a decision that the Spirit wanted me to make. But in that moment, I felt the nudge. And that was the Spirit leading me to stop watching something. Friends, it's important. It's important that we understand the Spirit wants to lead us into righteousness and out of unrighteousness. The Spirit wants to lead us into righteousness and out of unrighteousness. But it's our responsibility to pay attention. And I want to really poke right now, okay? Not just you, but to me. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 says this. The Spirit clearly says that in the later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. The idea of a hypocrite is someone who's playing, who's acting. And Paul's speaking to Timothy saying that in the last days on earth that there will be those who will be playing Christianity, and they will be deceptive and they'll be lying. And there will be people who have consciences who are seared with an iron, with a hot iron. And what he's saying is that there's coming a point where when the Spirit starts to lead us, when the Spirit starts to nudge us, that we will ignore the Spirit's teaching. We'll ignore the Spirit's leading over to this path. And friends, this is the part I really need you to hear this morning, because if you ignore the Spirit's nudges enough times, your conscience gets seared. I'm convinced that the Church of North America has become seared in so many issues. We have heard the Spirit, we felt the Spirit telling us what we should and shouldn't do, which path we should go on and which path we shouldn't go on, but we've ignored His nudging because we prefer our own path. And we think we can do it just once because His grace is amazing. His forgiveness is always there. And then we do it a second time. And then we do it a third time. And He keeps nudging and keeps nudging. And it comes to a place where our hearts become so callous that we no longer feel poking anymore. We no longer feel His nudging anymore. And I got to tell you, I was sitting with my translator in Bangladesh, and we were talking about her apparel. She had long jeans on and this long shirt and long sleeves. And I said, it's like 41 degrees today. How are you not dying? And she said, well, it's not too bad. This material is breathable. And she said, but I want to ask you a question. How is it that the women in North America dress so immodestly? I sat there thinking, and I'm trying to poke fun at women or anything like that. But I start to talk to her. I said, I got to tell you something. Many of the things that you see in North American Christianity are watered down versions of what true faith is. Many of the things that you would see in our North American Christianity are watered down. In fact, as we continued to talk, I began to discover that the Muslim world struggles with North American Christians. Because they see things in our lives that seem so contrary to what a God of holiness would allow. The things we watch, the things we listen to, the conversations we have, the places we go, the lifestyles we live. And I want to tell you, friends, I'm not trying to beat you today, but I want to tell you this. I'm convinced that one of the reasons why the Spirit has yet to do a complete outpouring is because we've not allowed our hearts to become soft to His nudging again. That we've become so seared to the nudging of the Holy Spirit that we've not taken the responsibility seriously of allowing Him to nudge us. We've not taken the responsibility of relationship seriously enough so that He's able to show us which way is right and which ways are wrong. And so we just keep living in the ways that we feel are best. But if we are to truly represent God, if we are to truly please God, We've got to say, Holy Spirit, would You take off the callousness of my heart so that there is no area where my heart is seared towards You. I want to pay attention. Friends, I want to pay attention to the things I say. I want to pay attention to the attitudes of my mind and my heart. I want to pay attention to the things I think upon. I want to pay attention to how I interact, because by the way, most of us sorry, I shouldn't say most. Many of us think that Christianity, the moral element of Christianity, is an individualistic element, but all of Paul's writings are geared towards the community. You will see your best Christianity with other people. With other people. And if you interact with people and reflect something other than Jesus, then something needs to change inside of you. Same with me. We need to open our hearts and say, Spirit of God, would you direct us in the paths that are right for my life that would please God? And if there are parts that have been seared, if there are parts that have become numb, would you take that callousness off so that you might get to my heart so I can hear you again, so I can follow you again? Because I want to be a person. I want to be a man who pleases God. Pleases God. A number of years ago, I had a speaker into one of my events. Some of you may know his name. His name is Judah Smith. He's actually like a Christian rock star preacher, fairly young pastor who is just known worldwide. And I got him into a couple of our events when he was just in his elementary stages of preaching, in the beginning stages before he blew up and became real famous. I'd read his dad's book on how to host the Holy Spirit, and his dad had written this chapter about hosting people and how we were supposed to host people like we're hosting Jesus. And so I was determined I was going to host Judah in the best way possible. And so I called his secretary and said, hey, I need you to tell me what are his favorite things. What's his favorite magazine? Well, like what kind of things is he into? Found out he's into basketball, and so we got a couple of basketball magazines. What's his favorite food to eat? So we got that food. What's his favorite drinks? And so we got those things. What's his favorite this? And we put together this massive basket, put it in his room. That night, as I picked him up for the evening session, Judah got into my car, and he says, Pastor Jeff, I want to thank you so much. I want to thank you so much for that basket. I got to tell you, I have never received a basket like that. I can see his face beaming. He says, that is the best basket I've ever received. Right away, my heart felt overwhelmed that I was able to bring him pleasure. I was able to please him with this gift basket. But I thought about that moment this week, and I thought the only way that I was able to please Judah was by going to his assistant and finding out what he liked. And the only way she knew is by spending time with Judah. She wasn't randomly picking things up out of the air like, oh, I think he likes basketball. No, she spent time with him. She spent time with him. She watched what he ate. She listened to the things he liked and didn't like. She knew what his passions were. She spent enough time with him that she knew the things that would bring him pleasure. And friends, I want to tell you that God has given us the Holy Spirit. The one who knows the mind of God to live inside of us to say, I want to tell you the things that I know are the things that God wants. I want to tell you the things that he's pleased with. I want to tell you the ways that you should go. In the moments where you're in between two different routes, I want to tell you which one it is. You just need to spend time with me. You just need to spend time with me. You just need to spend time with me. Our ethical decisions come out of our time with the Holy Spirit. And outside of that, friends, it's our best guess. It's our best guess. Flip a coin and hope we make the right choice. That's reckless Christianity when we've been given this person of the Holy Spirit. The motivation, joy, and peace, and righteousness. The new way, not the law, but the one who informs and empowers. That's because you will only experience true joy, beyond happiness, true joy, true peace from the paths that God has for you. Friends, as we close this service, we choose not to do whatever we feel is best. We choose not to do the things that we'd like, but we choose to walk by the Spirit, where there is righteousness, joy, and peace. We choose to walk the way of the Spirit of God. See what he does in our life. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much for my church family. I thank you for what you're doing in this place, the hearts that you're stirring. I thank you for your word and how it helps us guide the daily things that we need to do. But I especially thank you for the Holy Spirit. I pray that we would be motivated to please God, and we would see the benefits of righteousness, joy, and peace wrapped up in one package. I pray that the Holy Spirit, we would know that you are the new way to inform us and to empower us, that you would breathe life in those difficult situations and help us to make the right choices. And I pray that we would take our responsibility to walk by the Spirit, to build a relationship ahead of time so that when the choices need to be made, we'll make the right choices. So Holy Spirit, be with this congregation this week. May they know you in a deep way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you, everyone.